Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am excited because we are continuing in the book of Proverbs. And we know this is the book of wisdom. And Solomon wrote so many terse examples of how we are to display or apply these principles to our daily lives and be successful in Christianity this side of eternity. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, meaning your laptops, your tablets, your Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Our host has graciously set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, I want to personally thank you and thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. So thank you so very much. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God says, keep there before you my commandments and do them, for this is your wisdom and understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall have all these commandments and hear them and say, surely you are a wise and understanding people about God. That's taken from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6. The promise is that you will have everyone say that you're wise and understanding about God if you keep his commandments, because in keeping his commandments, this is your wisdom and understanding. God said again, all of these commandments shall come upon you and overtake you if you keep my commandments. All of these blessings shall overcome you and take you if you keep my commandments. That's taken from Deuteronomy chapter 28. Promise is that you will receive a multitude of blessings if you keep God's commandments. God said again, I will not fail thee or forsake thee as long as you do not disobey my commandments. Again, that's taken from Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. The promise is that God will be with us, my brothers and sisters, if we obey his commandments. Now, the question is, as always, for this hour, is are you standing on these commandments of God? Now, before we get started with the lesson, I want to let you know that is part of this rehearsal that I have for us constantly, that we're reminded that the Bible is written in code. That is critical to our study, meaning it's written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that is why we're here together tonight, to study and learn one with another. Let's get to the study. All right, turn your Bible sources to Proverbs chapter 28. And we're going to be looking at verse 9. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. And verse 9 is, as in many cases, identical to the instruction. And the instruction is, which I want you to pay attention to, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is abomination. My precious brothers and sisters listening out there, you must understand that God is taking this seriously, his word. And if you do not adhere to his word, then he will not respond to you, at least immediately, unless you repent. And that's another part of what Jesus brings to the table, repentance and faithfulness. This is what the instruction says. Solomon says to Israel in Proverbs 28, verse 9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. That is so significant to note, and that is what happens to a lot of individuals. They will not receive the Lord except in crisis. And then in crisis, they expect the Lord to respond to them. And that's where it gets iffy. So God said in his word, I will be merciful unto whom I will be merciful. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he won't respond, especially to sincerity. He will. But generally speaking, if you do not reap, or if you do not sow, you do not reap. And that's what I want you to keep in mind. And this is going to amplify that. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1. And this is why Isaiah the prophet said what he said. Listen to what Isaiah said about this. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Again, my brothers and sisters, it's up to God. But generally speaking, this is what the prophet is telling us, that God, he hears, but he won't respond if you're not obeying his commandments. Verse 3 continues, for your hands have defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has murmured perverseness. None call for justice, nor any plead for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Again, what the prophet is saying, these are the reasons why the Lord God Almighty will not respond to you immediately upon your prayer request if you're not obeying his commandments. Now we're going to go to the New Testament, and we're going to compare and agree. We're going to go to, turn your Bible sources with me, to Romans chapter 2, and we're going to look at Romans chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 10 through 18, and this is what Paul says about this concerning those who turn their ear away from hearing the law. And I see we're at our first break, so let's take that break, and then we'll get back and finish the instruction. Mm-hmm.
consequences of sexual sin. Number one, notice that he lost in sexual sin the loss of mission. The loss of mission. They put his eyes out. He no longer had vision. I promise you, if you continue in sexual sin, it's a matter of time before you lose your vision. Secondly, Samson lost, this is a big one. Sexual sin will cause you to lose and come to a place that you have a loss of common sense. Hadn't y'all seen that happen? Hadn't you seen people just starting to do things and you know, that, why? That they're not even thinking. Four times Delilah said, tell me your secret. And he told her a lie and said it was the secret. And every time he woke up, the Philistines were upon him and he killed them and he killed them and he killed them and he killed them. But when he really told the family secret, then suddenly the power had left. The point is this. I mean, at some point, tell me your secret, tell me your secret, and you see she's up to no good. Shouldn't you have some common sense? The loss of common sense. But sin causes you to lose a loss of mission, a loss of common sense. Only four of these. A loss of fear. He should have been terrified. He should have been hitting the brakes, not gassing it. He's going faster and faster. That's how sin does. You know you ought to be stopping. You know you're not doing good. You know you're deteriorating physically. You know that you're going to be found out. You know things are closing in. You know it. And you, instead of putting the brakes on, you're gassing it. You've lost your fear. And lastly, the loss of God's favor. You know, sexual sin will cost you the loss of God's favor. All the success that you are having right now is God's favor on your life. You let that favor lift. And the Bible said Samson woke up after he told her the secret and shook himself and said to himself, the Spirit of the Lord will come on me just like he has always. I've always had it. I've always got it. I'll always have it. And he went to fight. And when he did, in the middle of the fight, it dawned on him he wished not the Spirit of the Lord had departed. He had lost the favor of God. It didn't happen the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time. That is not God excusing your sin. It's his mercy. But there will come a time when continual sin, habitual sin in your life that the Holy Spirit has convicted you of will cost you the favor of God.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, what we're looking at is the complement, the New Testament complement to what Proverbs 28, verse 9 says. It identifies, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Look how Paul shared this with the Romans. He said, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether come unprofitable. There is none that does it good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With the tongue they have used deceit. The poison of ass is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace have they not known. There is none that fear God before their eyes. My brothers and sisters, this tells us, and I just read, I'm thinking I read the wrong, I did. Let me go back. We are looking at he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. And that is what Paul was alluding to. And this is so significant for us to realize. And it was Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 18. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that those who will not receive God's law, meaning doing his will not receive a response from God until repentance is satisfied. Now, I mentioned that that's what Jesus brings to the table. He brings repentance to the table, and that is the key to how we are reconciled back with God. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. And again, this is one verse, and the instruction is identical. And the instruction is, he that covereth up his sins shall not prosper. You heard the old saying, you can run, but you cannot hide. You can do or think that you're getting away with whatever it is that you're doing, but God sees all. And that is the case. In fact, the Hebrew writer writes, that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even the dividing asunder of soul and bones, and is and of the heart, is can understand what is going on in the heart, and that all are naked before him and cannot be covered. And so this is what 13 says. It says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So that's the key. But of course, you cannot cover up your sins. And what Ezekiel chapter 18, we're going to get an understanding of how the prophet told Israel about this in Ezekiel chapter 18. In the verse 4, this is what Ezekiel says. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Verse 20 continues in the same vein. Ezekiel says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Verse 23 continues, when the prophet says, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should perish, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? Listen, my brothers and sisters, he that covereth up his sins will not get away with it. Verse 30 through 31 gives us a completing thought on what Ezekiel says, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. And we see where the prophet even says, change your ways, repent, ask for forgiveness. And we know that that was part of the gospel, the good news that Jesus brought. He brought repentance. For behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And verse 31 continues, cast away from you all transgression, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies, saith the Lord. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live. So again, in covering up your sins, you will be not successful, but through repentance, you will be successful. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that every work shall be judged. And that is so significant to note, because Solomon said that best in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 at the end. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He said, to fear God and keep his commandments, for God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And now let's go to our New Testament complement. Let's turn to Luke chapter 12. And this is what Jesus said concerning covering up sin and being prosperous. This is what Luke said, or this is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 1 through 5. Jesus, it says, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, meaning the sins, and that they hide from you. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. And again, the Pharisees were not allowing the people to understand the truth of God. Verse 3 says, therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall be in fear. Fear him which after he had killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. My brothers and sisters, this is so significant. I see that we're at our second break. Let's take that break, then we'll complete the thought on this instruction.
A lot of people talk a good game, don't they? They say they're going to do this and that. But when push comes to shove, they disappear. When it's game time, they're nowhere to be seen. They say they're going to be the greatest ever, but their work ethic shows average effort. They say they're going to be rich or famous, but their habits are poor and ordinary. Talking is not enough. You must do. Talking is not enough. You must put in the work. You must develop the habit of following through with your word. When you say you're going to do something, you do it. It's called integrity. When you honor your word, you build pride for yourself and respect from others. When you don't, when you talk the talk and never walk, you lose pride and you lose respect. Repeat to yourself every day. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. If I give my word, I do it. If I talk it, I will walk it. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. If I give my word, I do it. If I talk it, I will walk it. When it gets hard, I gave my word. If something comes up, I gave my word. I will get it done. I don't even have to think twice. I get it done. I will get it done. Talkers talk. Walkers walk. Don't tell them what you're going to do. Show them what you've done. Let your results speak for you. Results say more than words ever will. Keep your word. Do the work. Get the results. Game time. This is my word. I've said it. Now I will do it.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, this is the spiritual instruction that I want you to get from: he that covers up his sin shall not prosper. And it is simple as this, that every word shall be judged, whether you've done it in the dark or whether you've done it in the light. God knows all and will account for all that you do. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Proverbs 28, verse 14, and we're going to look at another scripture, and the instruction is the same as the scripture itself, and of course, this is the instruction. Happy is the man that feareth the Lord God always. We must realize how significant it is to fear the Lord thy God. The beginning of this significance occurred at Mount Sinai when Moses was told by God to bring Israel to the mount and that God would speak to them. And God spoke to them audibly. And because of the sound of his voice and the raging of the fire and the earthquaking and the trembling of the mountain Sinai that was before them, when they heard God's voice, they told Moses, they shrieked and shrilled and told Moses, don't let God speak to them, lest they die, that let Moses speak to them. So Moses did. And Moses told them why God did what he did. He said that he did this to prove them, that they would fear him and not sin against him. So my brothers and sisters, the bottom line of the fear of the Lord is not to sin against God, and you will be happy. Now, of course, we know we're flesh and blood, and that's a war that we have to fight, but we must be about fighting the good fight of faith and keeping this as best we can. And so, again, this is what the scripture says. It says, Proverbs 28, verse 14 says, happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. And that's where we have to be careful, that we must always realize that we are to fear the Lord God. We must have that scruple to fear him. And then from fear, of course, we know that repentance follows because sorrow comes into play, or the fear of getting reprimanded comes into place. And we know what Paul says, that sorrow works repentance, and that's key. Now let's look at what Psalms 112 has to say about this. King David is going to give us what he told Israel concerning this. Psalms 112, listen to what David says. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that greatly delights in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the righteous there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He hath despised, or he hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. My precious brothers and sisters, he that feareth the Lord will do these things that accommodate God's commandments and will be rewarded accordingly. That is so significant. Now let's look at our New Testament complement. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 13. And we're going to look and see what Jesus had to say about this in John chapter 13. And we're going to look at verse 13 through 17. And listen to what it says in John chapter 13, verse 13 through 17, Jesus says, ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then be your Lord and master and have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. My precious brothers and sisters, remember we just read that Jesus says, fear him that can kill the body. Fear not him that can kill the body only, but fear him that can kill the body and soul in hell. That is key. And if you know these things, happy ye shall be. Now, this is what I want you to get from this spiritually, that happiness for us is grounded and founded only in the doing and keeping of God's commandments. My precious brothers and sisters, happiness for us is grounded and founded only in the doing and keeping of God's commandments. And one of the overwhelming commandments of God is thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. And that is what we just read. And if you're fearing the Lord your God, you're going to receive the happiness that is derived from that. Let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Proverbs chapter 28, verse 18, and we're going to look at this instruction, and it is identical to the text reading. The instruction is, whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. My precious brothers and sisters, that is critical, that you walk uprightly. And we know today it is simplified because Jesus said that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So our example and standard is Jesus Christ. Now listen to what King David or King Solomon said in Proverbs 28, verse 18. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. And that is something that we constantly are at war with, the flesh, because the flesh causes us to become perverse. But if we walk in the Spirit, as Paul says, if you're led by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So now let's look at Psalms 15, and this is going to amplify this for us even more. Psalms 15, verse 1 through 5, this is how King David rehearsed it to Israel. And this is so significant to note. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? This is significant on those who are going to be saved. He that walketh uprightly shall abide and dwell. He that worketh righteousness, he that speaketh the truth in his heart, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved and shall be saved. My brothers and sisters, this is so significant, for this is what Israel was subjected to in the Old Testament. But thank God for Jesus Christ and salvation through him. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to see the complement, how today we are to respond to what Jesus has to say about this. And he says it well in Matthew chapter 13, verse 37 to begin with. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 37. Jesus says, he that soweth good seed is the Son of Man. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and the gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of his Father. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear. My precious brothers and sisters, you can understand, and I see we're into the next break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue.
You can't change your past, but Christ can. Christ can change the past by covering your sins with his blood and forgiving all the sins and mistakes you ever made. That's a wonderful thing, because God has a set of tapes in which everything you've ever said and everything you've ever done and everything you've ever thought is there and will be played at the judgment. But if you come to Christ and surrender totally to him, he wipes out the tapes. He erases the tapes. And no one will ever hear them. Somebody says, follow your conscience, but your conscience may be seared, or it may be dead. It may be no good. It'll lead you wrong. You can be sincere, but be wrong. And many of you can be sincere in your beliefs and in what you're doing and the way you're living, but deep in your heart, you're wrong. You're not going according to the scriptures. You're not going according to what Christ says. And the scripture says you must come to the cross and repent of your sins and let Christ forgive your sins from the cross and wash your sins by his own blood and receive the righteousness of God. God has an ability that you don't have. He has the ability to forget. He forgets our sins. And that's the most thrilling thought in the world, is to go to bed at night and know that your sins are forgiven. Many of you must decide this afternoon. Before you leave here, every person here will decide one way or the other about your relationship to God. Some of you need to rededicate your life to Christ. Some of you need a new experience with Christ. Others of you need to come to Christ perhaps for the first time in total surrender of your life to him if you're going to be forgiven of your sins, if you're going to get to heaven. What about you? Do you know Christ? Are you ready for death? Because it's coming. And for some of you, there's no way out. There's pressures and troubles and trials in your life and difficulties and problems, and there seems to be no answer. It may be you and your wife. You just can't seem to make it. You love each other, and yet you don't. And you fight and you scrap. Is there any way out? Yes, there's a way. Jesus said, I am the way. The choice that some of you make today will decide where your children are going to be, where your grandchildren are going to be, what their lives are going to be like. It's the choices that we make. Moses said, I call heaven and earth to record this day that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your children may live. It affected future generations. What are you going to do about it?
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, to complete the instruction on whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, we are looking at verse 43, and Jesus says, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has the ears to hear, let him hear. And so it's the righteous that will be saved. And so this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the righteous shall receive the reward for being correct, and the unrighteous shall receive their reward for being wrong. Remember, at the great throne of judgment, there is where all of the works are going to be held accounted for. And those who have done the will of the Father shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Those who have not done the will of the Father shall enter into the kingdom of damnation. All right, let us go to the next instruction. Let's turn back to Proverbs chapter 28. We're going to look at verse 20. and we're going to again read the scripture, and it's identical to the instruction. The instruction is, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. My brothers and sisters listening out there, that is so significant. You're talking about walking in uprightness or righteousness. That will give you blessings galore. And it tells us here in verse 20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. My brothers and sisters, you got to understand that Jesus warned us that we cannot serve two masters. We will either love the one and hate the other, honor the one and despise the other. We cannot serve both God and mammon. He also told us that a house divided against itself cannot stand. We will either serve God or we will serve other than God. And if we want to abound in the blessings of God, we must be faithful to obeying his commandments. That is key. And this is what King David rehearsed to Israel about it in Psalms 27. Turn with me to Psalms 27. We're going to look at verse 11 to begin with. Verse 11 says, teach me thy ways, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. What King David is rehearsing to Israel is that if you're going to be faithful, faithfulness is waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is being still and being quiet, as well as serving the Lord. And in doing those faithful things, you will abound with blessings. And let's now go to our New Testament complement. We're going to go turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And we know that this is a very famous saying that goes around in Christianity, and it tells us about how critical faithfulness is. Listen to what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. My brothers and sisters, you must be faithful. And if you are faithful, then you're going to be rewarded diligently. And that is what's key here. And what I want you to get from this spiritually is that we must walk by faith in order to obtain the blessings that it gives you. Faith is a belief. Faith is a trust. Faith is a loyalty. Faith is an integrity. Remember, the faith of Abraham cited him from God as being righteous. And without that, we cannot please God. And that is critical. Let's go now to the next instruction. Turn back, if you will, with me to Proverbs 28. We're going to be looking at verse 21. And again, we're going to, the instruction is as verbatim from the reading of the text. And this is the instruction I want you to keep in mind. To have respect of persons is not good. My precious brothers and sisters, you have to realize that the Deuteronomy text tells us, Moses rehearsing it to Israel, says, thou shalt not be a respecter of persons. In fact, it is so significant that even through other scriptures, it tells us that God himself is not a respecter of persons. Listen to what Solomon said to Israel about this. In verse 21, to have respect of persons is not good. For a piece of bread that man will transgress. And it is so critical to note, we realize that that's how Esau stole his birthright, because allowed Jacob to dissuade him, and he gave him the food that he requested for his birthright. So it tells us that for a piece of bread, that man will transgress. And that's exactly what Esau did. I see we're at the last instruction for tonight, or the last break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the instruction.
How could a man hit a target he could not see? That's a pretty good question. Here's another one. How can you hit a target you do not have? Have you got one? Are you a meaningful specific, or are you a wandering generality? People today complain of lack of time. It's not lack of time that's the problem, it's the lack of direction. Are you a wandering generality, or are you a meaningful specific? Are you going to work tomorrow because that's what you did yesterday? If that's the reason you're going tomorrow, you won't be as good tomorrow as you were yesterday, because you're 2 days older and no closer to the goal you do not have. Now, I got sense enough to know that some of those airplanes are coming down faster than they're going up. It's dangerous for that plane to fly. You see in the newspapers where the ships leave the harbor, and you see where some of them sink. It's dangerous for the ships to be on the ocean. And yet the engineers tell me that it's more dangerous for that plane to stay on the ground. That it will rust out faster than it will wear out up into the heavens. They tell me that that ship will collect more barnacles in the harbor and become unseaworthy faster than it will sailing the high seas. Besides, planes are built for flying. Ships are built for sailing. Houses are built for living. And man, too, was built for purpose. He was designed for accomplishment. He's engineered for success. He's endowed with the seeds of greatness. And the greatest danger we as human beings have is when we do not do anything at all. And I make this statement 40 times in my book.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's look at this instruction. To have respect of persons is not good. Proverbs 28, verse 21, we read that, and we understood that that causes calamity in our lives. Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter, and we're going to see how Moses rehearsed it to Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 19. Listen to what Moses said to Israel concerning this. Thou shalt not risk judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. For a gift does blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. So we can see there is the commandment that Moses taught Israel, that that it should be that there is no respect of persons. Now we're going to go to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15, and we're going to see where even in the law it is telling us the same. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15, this is what the law says. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the persons of the poor, nor honor the persons of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. That is so significant to note, my brothers and sisters, that it is written throughout the law that thou shalt not be a respecter of persons. Now let's go to James going to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how the book of James, how James tells his disciples about this in James chapter 2, verse 1 through 9, James chapter 2. And this is how James puts it, comparing and agreeing. James says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. Why? For if there come unto you in your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thought? Hearken, my brothers and sisters, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? If ye fulfill the royal law, according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convict of the law as a transgressor." My precious brothers and sisters, that is what the New Testament tells us about having respect for people. We have to be very careful, because I know that there's practices that go on in the church where honor is given to the pastors and the apostles and the elders and trustees and the like. We must be very careful how we approach this, because we know that the law says thou shalt be no respecter of persons. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that showing respect is equivalent to judging, and only God can and should judge his creation repercussions. And that's why the church must be very careful in how it goes about the business of godliness, that we show no respect unto persons. Okay, let's go to the last instruction for this evening. Turn back, if you will, with me to Proverbs 28. We're going to look at verse 25, and I'm going to read the verse to you. And, of course, the instruction is identical to the verse. This is the verse. "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat." Now, this is the instruction. "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife." My precious brothers and sisters, that is so significant to know. The proud causes the fall. We know that it happened to Lucifer or Satan. It was his pride that caused him to disobey God. And it also was his pride that caused him to interfere with Adam and Eve in the garden, to dissuade them what they should and should not be doing. Pride is very significant in God's eyes. You must come to the throne of mercy and grace, obeisant. You must give God homage. That is what's due the king. We know that God resisteth the proud, giveth more glory or grace to the meek and the humble and the lowly of spirit. We know that Jesus, he said to us, "Come unto me, ye that are heavy laden and worked, and I will give you peace and rest unto your souls. Learn of me, for I am meek and humble and lowly of spirit, and I will give you rest and peace unto your souls." We know that that is the way to godliness, is through meekness. Meekness is a fruit of the Spirit, and to be humble, to be meek, to be lowly of spirit is critical in God's eyes. You must come before the throne of God in meekness, He resisteth the King David told Israel that the proud are cursed because they do disobey the law of God. And this is what God requires, meekness. Now let's look at Isaiah chapter 14, and we're going to see exactly where Satan got in trouble with his pride, and it caused his downfall. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 14 and listen to what happened to Satan. And this is what verse 12 through 15 says. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. That's pride, my precious brothers and sisters. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. This is telling us what happened to Satan, my precious brothers and sisters. He fell before God because of pride. Now let's go to Luke. We're going to look at our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how Christ identifies this in Luke chapter 14, chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, we're going to look at verse 10 through 14, and this is how Jesus identifies it. Luke chapter 18, verse 10 through 14. And this is what Luke had to say. Listen to what Luke said, or Jesus said in Luke chapter 18. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus without, God, I thank thee that I am not as men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I twice in the week give, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not even look up as much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That's the key to pride and meekness. Jesus said it. So this means, my brothers and sisters, that ego with God is unacceptable. God requires that we be meek before him. Okay, that ends the program for tonight. And before we sign off, I'd just like to thank you in behalf of the host and I for participating and encouraging us as you are by listening and taking part. Good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.